Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life?
No, absolutely not. I think it's a pretty shitty argument, actually, that people would say that.
Dale Arnold.
You just wonder whether he gets to the point where he's had enough of Bill O'Brien. And he makes a power play to get out of Houston. And if he would want to go anywhere else, why wouldn't he want to go to New England?
Oh, yes.
Rich Keefe.
I would be shocked if they aren't in there right now working on 12 and 14 game versions of the schedule.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Hey, it's Wiggy.
I'm so proud of him.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Jermaine Wiggins is in the house with us as well. The day started in a big way. If you're a football fan or if you're a Patriots fan, it started with a huge, well-publicized interview with Howard Stern today. Former New England Patriots, current Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady appeared on Stern. And I think, Rich, we thought that it was going to be pretty vanilla, and it was probably a lot less vanilla than many people expected. First of all, we heard Tom Brady working blue.
He did, although as Dice on Twitter points out, Tom Brady on Howard Stern swore less than Ty Law and Dale Keefe. A great line, and it's true.
That's a good point.
And Ty Law was only on for 15 minutes. Tom Brady was on for 2 hours plus. But yeah, and it seems like, you know, Tom Brady made his decision, and the way he's sort of gone about this, you know, he first kind of tweets out and Instagrams out that he's not going to be in New England. Doesn't say where he's going, but he does that first. Then he announces on his social medias that he's going to Tampa. Then he has the conference call, because obviously we're not doing press conferences anymore. So it's just the conference call, and is, you know, high road across the board. And then he does the Players Tribune article, where I think, again, there's a lot of areas to sort of read between the lines, and it's...
And we did.
We did. We have to. And that's what we've done for 20 years with Tom Brady, because he is so good at not flat out telling you how he feels, so you have to kind of figure out what it is. And then a couple days after the Players Tribune article, he's on with Howard Stern for a very long time. And you know when, especially let's take an athlete. If an athlete goes on with Howard Stern, it's not all going to be, hey, week 14 against Kansas City, this is what you did.
It'd probably be none of that because he has, Howard has no clue.
Right. And so it's going to be, you know, Giselle's super famous. So he knows Giselle. Let's talk about Giselle. Oh, there's a relationship with Trump. Let's talk about that.
Let's go there.
And I'm sure he's been told by, you know, his producers or other people about, you know, hey, he's with Bill Belichick for 20 years. They didn't go like ask him about Belichick and things like that.
Stern also has a relationship with the Kraft family,
particularly
Jonathan. So he probably knows more about the Patriots and Belichick and Brady than he would, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes or something.
Right.
Because he's had a long-standing relationship with the Kraft family.
And I think, again, I didn't listen to the whole 2 hours yet. Did he... When he was asking him, like, resentment towards Bill Belichick, did he say anything about towards Kraft? I don't think so.
I haven't caught that anywhere else.
And I wonder, again, if you talk about Howard's relationship with him. And not that Brady would say that he did. Again, he shot down the thing with Belichick. So I assume he would shoot down the thing with Kraft, too. But Howard didn't put them in that situation because maybe he wouldn't like the answer that he got.
Right. Or when you think about some of the stuff, you know, that... And I think it's some of the stuff that, well, why wouldn't, you know, if Robert and you guys have always kind of went to the last minute and got a contract worked out, what happened this go round? Because like, he doesn't really get into that because
and,
I don't,
right, like, none of us believe he went and did the contract with Robert.
But I think you would. I think if I was Stern, and I know
I don't even think he did before. But
so Ben Volen asked him this on the conference call, and if I was Howard Stern, you have an opportunity to kind of follow up more that with the, you know, Robert Kraft said if you wanted to be on the Patriots, right, you'd right. be on the Patriots. Right. Like that didn't get brought up right. in over 2 hours.
Well, Kraft is the one who said that they've gotten deals done before. Didn't he say they got a yes. deal done on a plane?
Yeah.
Well, he said some other things too that may or may not have been accurate. Let's start Correct. With that. In fact,
Correct.
One of the things that the story that Robert Kraft has told is that the first time he met Brady, Brady said, "I'm the best decision you've ever made." Well, Brady kind of cleared that up with Howard Stern today.
You were like a.
I didn't say that, for the record. I try to. She doesn't remember as well as I do. I remember saying, "You'll never regret picking me," and he always will say, "I was the best decision." But neither here nor there. But I, you know, what I meant was, look, you took a chance on me, and I'm going to, you know, like everyone, I'm going to try to go make you proud, and I'm going to try to represent the team and the organization. I've really tried to keep that approach for 20 years about, you know, this is about me. When people put their trust and belief in you, I think that's the best way that motivates me, because then I don't want to let people down. And I have a really strong internal motivation to say, if you bet on me, then I'm going to give you everything I have. I'll give you my head. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my body. I'll give you everything.
Right.
He now, that's gave, a whole different story, isn't it?
But he gave Robert that, though, right? Because think about this. How many times...
But he's saying, you know, I'm the best decision you've ever made reads totally differently than you won't regret picking me.
It's not nearly as cocky.
But what I'm saying is we've heard you're the best decision you ever made for years upon years upon
yeah,
years.
Brady never
and Brady never said anything because yeah. Brady's like, all right, I'll give you that one, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like anything.
That's not what I said.
It's like, oh, you remember that fight that happened 20 years ago? And it's like, oh, yeah, that one.
But I also think it also, to me, and this is, again, because we've been hit over the head with reading into Brady, Belichick, and everything like that, even the end of that answer is kind of pointing to the, in my mind, the relationship with Belichick, saying, if you bet on me, I will give you all of this.
Right.
And over the last couple of years, I think he got the sense,
I'll win championships for you. I'll give you everything I've got.
That's what I'm saying. I'll give you whatever I got. And I think he's gotten the sense over the last couple of years that Belichick is not betting on him.
No.
The Buccaneers are. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are betting on Tom Brady, and that's why he's all in for them, but he didn't get that same feeling here.
You know what he's getting from Bill? He's getting from Bill, and I think a lot of, you know, athletes, they go through this, and this is something that they get to a certain point, is where that guy no longer, he has that confidence in me because he's always trying to replace me. Mm-hmm. And since, you know, or he doesn't want to give me the money that I deserve, he's always looking for the better option. And I think that's what Tom is really feeling in his mind, is that he's looking for the better option or for the time to say, all right, I want to move on from this.
Because I always thought drafting Jimmy Garoppolo was a mistake because it was a second round pick and Brady was still really good and you were a Super Bowl contender. Get somebody to help him. But in reality, I think that motivation, that sort of him kind of doubting him a little bit, may have made Brady better. Like,
all right, let's go to,
in a way.
Let's go to number two here. And this is Brady talking about what he can communicate with Bill Belichick. And leading into this, I will tell you that he said, I would never call a guy out in front of the whole team. And I believe that. I don't think he'd sit there in a meeting room or sit there in, you know, in the big auditorium on a film day and say, geez, Nikhil, why are you there? You need to be there. He would never do that. And he said he wouldn't do that. But he also said to Stern, he could express his opinion to the coaches and Bill Belichick about what he thinks of a player.
I would say, you know, I don't have any trust that this guy can, you know, help us, you know, win the game. I mean, I can definitely express my opinion to say, if you put him out there, I'm not going to throw him the ball because I don't, you know, the whole team is trusting me to do what's right by the team. So you can't put someone out there that I don't believe in, because if I don't believe in him, then it's worthless for the team. And then I think, fortunately for me, Coach Belichick always saw it the same way as me, which is why I think we have such a great connection, because he saw football very much the same way that I saw it. And all the coaches, you know, that I work with on a daily basis, they want the same thing, which I think that culture for winning in that system, which is why I was a great fit for that system because we saw the process of winning very much the same way.
So I don't know if it's entirely true that he wouldn't call out players to their face.
He said in front of the whole team. He didn't say to their face.
Well, like Tyquan Underwood on the sideline, we all saw it at home. We saw him going crazy at him.
Listen,
so.
Wes Welker was on the Greg Hill Show and basically told them when Brady threw the ball at the back of his feet and shoot him out in front of everybody, you know, this, that, and the other. And then when he went to the film and
the next day, he was like, oh, hey,
yeah, bud. Yeah. So to think that Tom.
I think what he's talking about, Wiggy, is you know, you're in that big film session on Monday. He's not going to be chirping in the middle of that thing saying, geez, the hell were you thinking,
Wes? But that's Bill's thing.
Right. So, and Brady's saying he wouldn't do that.
But player is doing that.
Isn't that semantics, though? If he's going to do it on the field in front of the rest of the team or on the sidelines in front of the whole team.
But no player's doing it. No player's standing up in a team meeting when Bill Belichick is leading the meeting and going, hey, what the hell were you doing on this play? No, that's the team meet. Now, in the offensive meeting or positional meeting or meetings that we used to have with Brady before practice in the morning, where it's just the receivers, tight ends, and running backs, he would say that, like, hey, what were you thinking on this play? I expect you to be here or there, this, that, and the other. But in the team meeting, No player's doing that. I don't care who you are. Bill Belichick is the one, you know, with the
he's in charge there.
With the highlighter and the remote control saying, what the hell are you doing here? Brady's not going to do that in a team meeting, but he'll do it in a players-only meeting.
So the next part here was, and Stern was asking Brady about the age-old question around here, who means more to the Patriots' success, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? And you know, everybody around here has talked about it for years. In fact, we still talk about it. So Stern began talking about that perception, that question, and the relationship between the two.
I think it's a pretty shitty argument, actually, that people would say that. Because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine. The fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. I feel the same in vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same way about me because we've expressed that to each other.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a Patriot for life?
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. You know, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do. That aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
So I think the better question would have been, rather than resentment, I would have said, Tom, aren't you a little bit disappointed that you didn't finish your career in New England? Because resentment, it means
isn't
like...
Isn't that the same thing, though?
No.
Well, isn't resentment more like you're kind of blaming Belichick rather than like, did you want to end your...
Right.
Like, forget about all the details of why you're not. Like, did you want to end your career here?
Right, that's the difference where the resentment element is, oh, the reason why you're not there is because of Belichick.
Yeah.
I would ask that. Aren't you a little disappointed you didn't get to finish your career there?
I got to tell you, when he said that he had kind of made up his mind that he kind of wanted to do something different, he kind of wanted to do something else, that answers the question about the resentment to me. I don't think he resented it because he was ready. He wanted to go.
Yeah, I think he wanted to go, though, because of decisions that Bill had made in the past.
If you could ask Brady, would you rather be playing for the New England Patriots or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What do you think he would be saying?
Yeah, I think it's definitely
I got to be honest. I'm not sure of that anymore. I've thought that all along. I've thought he wanted to begin and end his career here. I think that there was a part of him, and whether that was, you know, in consultation with his wife or Alex or parents or whoever.
I think he
got to the point where, you know what? I wouldn't mind trying something different.
Do you think if Belichick retired and Josh McDaniels was named the head coach that Brady would still be here?
I don't. Because I don't think he necessarily thinks that, you know, Josh McDaniels is going to seamlessly replace Bill Belichick as the greatest coach of all time.
Well, because I think he was Belichicked out, and I know you feel the same way, right, Dale?
So I think
he might still be here, and maybe whether it's McDaniels or somebody else, I think he might. And again, they would have to offer him a fair deal. They would have to get him another receiver, things like that. But I'm just saying, just if you take that part alone, not that he hates Belichick, I'm not suggesting that. But
he doesn't. He clearly does not.
20 years of Belichick, I think anybody might want
to. So if he doesn't hate Bill, and is it safe to say that on August 1st of 2000 and what year is 19. This? 19. If they would have said, here, Tom, here's 2 years and $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I think he signs it.
Okay, so what happens between August and where we are today, which is, you know, April 8th, right?
The well, only he, thing- what happens is Belichick wants to go year to year with you. He wants you to take a pay cut, and
exactly.
he doesn't replace Gronk.
That's it. It's yeah. not about. It's not about nothing else. If he says to him on August 1st, 2019, hey, Tom, here's your 2 years, $50 million extension, Tom Brady signs. It has nothing to do with his feelings toward Belichick. It has nothing to do with anything other than that, because we all know if he puts that on the table,
mm-hmm.
Brady signing. But as the season progressed and Bill started to go, you know what, Tom? We don't think you're worth that.
Right.
I don't think you're worth $15 million. I don't think you're worth a two-year extension. That's where the relationship, it kind of went in two different directions.
Another part of the conversation here, a big part of the conversation, had to do with the relationship with Tom and Giselle. And Tom actually went deeper than I ever expected he would about their relationship and what happened a couple of years ago that kind of changed the way Tom approached things.
You know, a couple of years ago, we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end it, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that?
Right.
And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to, like, check myself. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family, because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
And, you know, at that point, you know, obviously, that was when the OTAs, and even more than the OTAs, because as Wiggy pointed out, that's what, a week, eight.
It's like 10 practices. Yeah, it's not much.
It's different than the off-season program, which Wiggy, as you pointed out, and you know better than we mm-hmm. would, is a couple of months.
Yeah, that's off-season program generally, you know, it starts, you at least now it does in the new world of the NFL. It mm-hmm. starts like, you know, beginning of May and it runs through the middle of June.
So another thing that Stern asked Brady about, and again, I was surprised he went there, was about his relationship with the president of the United States, Donald Trump. And
did you get asked the same thing? I would imagine he wanted you to endorse him.
Yeah. Well, he wanted me to speak at that convention, too, and I think that I wasn't going to do anything political. You know, the political support is totally different than the support of a friend.
As Michael Jordan once said, Republicans wear sneakers, too, or buy sneakers, too, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's Brady kind of getting out of it. And he had told the local media a while ago that, hey, Giselle wants me to stop talking politics. I'm going to stop talking politics. And that's kind of what he wants to do. Because, you know, as soon as you endorse somebody, and because that's been clear all along, Brady and Trump, and I think even Trump and Belichick and Trump and Kraft all had like a friendship before he even got into politics. And then all of a sudden he gets into politics, half the country hates him, and now everybody's looking at these guys like, oh, wait a minute, what, you're friends with this guy? So you must agree with him on every single subject. And so Brady was like, I got to kind of distance myself
right.
here.
Because anybody who hitches their wagon to Trump is going to get, you know,
tons of hate.
So, it, you know, you might as well say, all right, I knew him as a friend before that, and maybe I don't believe in his political beliefs, but when I knew him, he was a nice guy.
Right.
And that's kind of where you
fast forward to him skipping out on the White House a couple years later, you know?
Right.
There is one more graphic cut that we haven't even played yet, and it actually happened after I was able to listen. I'm surprised he went this far into it, but we'll play it for you when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag on WEEI. So as I mentioned, when we went on the air at 10 o'clock, Tom Brady and Howard Stern were still talking. They went for another 20 minutes after, you know, I had to stop listening to it. So there were a couple of cuts that we haven't played yet. And I just wanted to bring those to you because maybe you haven't heard them yet. One had to do with Rob Gronkowski. Now, Howard had to admit to Tom, how do I put this delicately, that Howard feels somewhat inferior in the physical attributes department, that he's a little uncomfortable with the idea of showering with other men and stuff.
Okay.
That's Howard all day long.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, he doesn't think that he measures up. Right. There's the term I'm looking for, that he measures up. So Howard pointed out to Tom that he would think a guy like Rob Gronk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kowski really measures up.
But you're saying Gronk didn't have, like, the biggest on the planet?
I mean, I think Gronk is, I mean, that guy's like a Greek god, his body, and that guy's just jacked up. So he's got a great physique. So there was a time, it's actually funny because I think they still let reporters into the locker room. So it'd be funny because Gronk would get naked and literally throw his towel over his shoulder and just walk through the locker room with all the reporters. And I would just laugh because, you know, Gronk, obviously, he didn't give a shit.
That's just great confidence is what that
that's
is.
Just, that's Gronk.
But if you put the towel on your shoulder
that's
and
normal.
Not around your waist, that's a confident person.
But that's normal. There's always guys like that in the locker room who just...
Oh, yeah. You know, we had a guy on my high school basketball team that would do that. The coach would be like, all right, clean it up. Right. Like, what are we doing here? We're trying to talk here. Put the towel around your waist. That's where it goes.
Like, I'm sitting on a stool, bro. You don't have to talk to me
good.
Naked, right?
We got it.
Let me at least stand up before
There's always the old guy at the gym that does that, too.
Right. Yeah.
Sitting on the bench. Like, you know where the towels are, right?
Yeah,
like,
some guys don't care when the media's in there.
Air dry. Yep.
He does bring up a point, and I don't know at what point the locker room culture changed when you were there, Wiggy, but there was a point where guys would be walking through or getting dressed, you know, naked in front of everybody. And then that kind of changed after a while, right?
I mean, not when I was there. I didn't care. You know, if I'm going to take a shower or whatever, it don't matter to me.
Remember it's not small.
Remember when James Harrison was here and he had Chris Price rub cream on his back?
Yeah, that
what the hell was that?
Well, that's, you know, a shirt off.
Like,
that's different thing.
They're in the locker room right after the game.
Right.
So, you know, you're not really thinking about that other stuff. You're like, listen, I'm trying to get chowed. I'm trying to get in the ice, whatever I need to do. And you know what? If you're trying to have a conversation, so be it. This is, you know.
It is weird, though. Like, you have so many media, especially the popular teams, have so many media members in there.
Right.
And these guys are just trying to shower. And then they're like, yeah, I'll talk to you. And you're like, well, do you want to get dressed? And they're like, no, let's get it over
Well,
with.
You know, because you got to understand, right?
They're like looking up at the ceiling. Like, so, third down.
Well, you got to understand, you get out of the shower. Like, you don't want to just throw your clothes on right away. You got to sit there for a little bit, put
lotion
on, whatever it may be.
Have a reporter
or just have
put
Chris
the lotion.
Price help you with
that. Yeah. Price to do it.
You know, if they come in after practice, some guys like to get on a scale. I don't know about anybody else. else.
So you're weighing yourself.
But when
now?
I weigh myself yeah. in, I usually do it in the nude.
Okay, makes sense. You know, that's your real weight.
I like to get the accurate weight. And,
yep.
You know, that's kind of the way it is.
No peeking. Nobody can take a look at the weight.
It seems like the locker room hasn't changed much since since I've been in there.
Totally nude show.
Yeah. Well, speaking of you know, that part of your body, and we will because Tom Brady talks about it as well. At one point during the interview, Brady acknowledged to Stern that he has in fact suffered concussions. And it kind of goes along with what, remember, Giselle had talked about this when, who was it? She was it with
CBS,
Scratchy?
It was CBS News, I think. She was doing 60 Minutes or
like
one of those
Good
type
Morning
of shows.
America.
It was one of those type of shows, yeah.
And she said, oh, yeah, he's had concussions. Well,
like a lot of concussions is what she said. Yeah.
Brady didn't say a lot, but he acknowledged he's had concussions during the course of his career. And I mean, it's self-evident. Anybody who plays the game of football has had concussions. But he also talked about another different sort of injury that he suffered as well.
Pulled my shorts off at the end of the game because I thought when I got hit, something happened. And it ended up being a hernia in the game where the abdomen wall split open. I don't know all the details of it, but other than that, the testicles were like literally like one side was like, I would say like an orange.
Oh.
And then the other side was normal. And I was like, something's wrong here. The guy who's my backup quarterback time, Matt Castle, drew pictures of me like with this one huge testicle on one side. And then he would leave them in my locker every day about, you know, this.
You know, so this compassionate.
Like he purple balls. He called me because I got all bruised up. And it was a, man, that hurt.
Man. Who knew Matt Castle was an artist?
I didn't know.
How about that?
So did he actually say to Matt Castle, Matt, take a look at this.
Probably.
No. See what you think
or
here.
Or he was walking around and he's like, dude, what's wrong with
that? You have something like that, you got to show somebody. You got to get a witness on this.
Definitely like, dude, look at my...
If that happened to me in a football game, I'd be like, I would just take off all my equipment and retire.
He
like,
got
see
hit
you later.
There?
It's been a good run.
He got hit there? Is that
I
what he
guess.
Said?
Well, he
the
said it was a hernia.
The abdominal wall was torn, he said.
Yeah. But then that goes down into your area there and swells one of them up.
And oh, by the way, other than the year he blew out his knee, he didn't miss games. Abdominal wall was torn and one of them was orange and one of them wasn't, he still played the next week.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely like when people say he doesn't get hurt, like that's not true. Like he was injured once.
Right.
He's hurt all the time.
Well, there's
like,
a difference.
His shoulders hurt all the time.
Parcells used to say, are you hurt or are you injured?
Like he ripped his hand before the Super Bowl. Remember Rex Burkhead in practice?
Remember the picture of that?
Nasty.
I think that thing hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder how long it took to get his area back to
his
normal.
His oranges back to grapes?
That's a process.
Yeah. Well, one was apparently a little larger than the other two, as you could well imagine.
That's not comfortable.
Yeah, you've been hit there before.
Mm-mm.
And it's crazy because football players don't wear cups.
Right.
You know, you think baseball, they do. Obviously, in hockey, they do.
Yeah.
But football players don't wear.
Why, because you're trying to show how manly you are?
No, or? I don't know.
It's a speed thing, I think. It gets
just,
in the way because you have all those other pads.
Yeah, it's just
very
like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable. I just think it's one of those things where guys just like it's a... Because think about it, right? When you played football, like growing up, you probably wore a cup when you were younger, like playing,
Pop Warner, maybe.
Like that's it. But then when you got to high school, you weren't wearing one. And
right.
But yeah, if you played in college, so it's just more of a comfort
it's a
level.
Risk. You run that risk, I guess.
It's a comfort level more than anything.
Yeah.
Now, were you one of those guys too, Wiggy? I'm not wearing thigh pads.
I wore nothing. Anything that I could that made me lighter, thigh pads slowed
me down.
Because
now there's a rule, right? Like now make them.
Yeah, you have to wear them. No, you get fined. I always felt like if I had thigh, I mean, I wasn't the fastest thing in the world anyways.
Right. That's what Ty Law said.
Yeah, and so thigh pads, I felt like they were slowing me.
They probably did. And how much help are they? These thin little pads, you got a safety, it's going to hurt either way.
Because you're cutting them anyways. Even if you had to put them in, you're cutting them.
Oh, they're super thin.
You're not out there like Adrian Peterson with these giant
No,
thigh
that's
pads.
Not going to help you.
Yeah, if you're wearing those, maybe. But yeah, I was like, listen, I'm not that fast. I try to get into the smallest.
So your pants were basically just like spandex.
I put those on. I could have played in shorts.
Yeah,
they were biker shorts.
You could have played in shorts.
I mean, I could have played in shorts basically.
And you would have been comfortable worrying about getting shots in your thighs or something.
Yeah, I've had that before. It didn't really concern me. I never concerned with that. I had small shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm.
I wore no pads. Basically, I was like
just a helmet and small shoulder pads.
I was like,
and there he is,
Michael Bennett out there.
Oh my God, Michael Bennett is the smallest.
Ed McCaffrey is like the small you try to get as light as I could possibly get to to get a little bit faster. So I was basically playing in helmet, shoulder pad, and shorts.
Makes sense.
Nice. What else you got? It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Wiggy.
All right, so Brady is now in Tampa Bay, and in order for him to be there, he had to replace Jameis Winston. But the reason why he is in Tampa Bay might be because Jameis Winston got to take a little bit of the credit.
One thing about Tom Brady is it's understood that he is the GOAT. For you to get replaced by Tom Brady in a city that you love so much, I guess that's kudos to me.
Wow.
Kudos to me?
I guess it is, Jameis. So kudos to him. Although we did kind of, it's different, but we talked about Bledsoe the other week about if you are going to get replaced, you might as well get replaced by the greatest of all time.
Well, the only reason why you're there is because of me.
Right. It's like, well, because you threw 30 picks that they needed to get another quarterback.
Yeah, if you maybe threw like 10, maybe you'd still be there.
Yeah, that one's tricky, I'll be honest. I don't know.
But then you don't get the kudos for having
kudos
the GOAT.
Kudos to me.
I mean,
kudos
to me. To having the GOAT replace you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What else you got?
Rich?
All right, let me ask you guys this. We could put it to an informal poll.
Oh, nice.
Who had the better message with all that's going on right now? Was it our very own Chris Schein?
I'm 6 feet from my friends and I'm thinking.
Or.
Hard to argue with that one.
Or, that's number one. Or Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman.
You know, as they say, the same going around. Stay safe. Whoa, no. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
He's putting rubber gloves on.
Yeah, guys.
Stay inside. But if you do go outside for your grocery or anything, glove up, mask up, safe up.
Safe up?
Safe up.
And like they say, stay healthy, stay safe, stay inside.
Do they all live in caves?
I don't know. I don't know. But I don't even think we need to ask the audience, but I'm going to go with...
Sound like them gloves were hurting.
That was aggressive. Maybe he needs to go with one size up.
Right.
Those sounded tight.
It's like John with his schmedium football jersey.
It is.
It's
Matt Castle. Yep.
Trying to help me get into that every day.
With a shoehorn. He has a giant shoehorn. It's amazing.
You got like nine producers holding each of my arms.
What else you got?
So these are trying times that we live in, and for our political officials, you know, you've got to take extra care. There's a small city in Illinois called Alton, Illinois, and the mayor of Alton, Illinois, Brent Walker, was trying to make sure people understood the importance of social isolating. You know, we got to take this stuff serious, so he gave a direct order.
These are very serious times, and I am begging you, please stay at home. Doing so is vital to our health. I have directed the police department to use their discretion in issuing citations or making arrests for those refusing to follow the state-issued stay-at-home mandate.
So they did. And the police broke up one of these gatherings at which they arrested the wife of the mayor.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yep, see? You got to be careful now. You're going to run into a lot of hypocrites.
Right. They found his wife at a bar.
Oh, she had a bar.
City.
Oh,
operating in violation of the stay-at-home orders.
Maybe she didn't get the
memo.
Well,
she wasn't violating. If the bar's open,
it was the bar.
Oh, no, she was. The bar was violating, so was she.
Oh, boy. Oh. Yeah, that's not good. That's a real problem.
It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it, when you're the mayor of the city and you tell... You know, you tell the police, you go get these folks now, and they come back and say, mayor?
You probably have to file for a divorce just to save face.
Or
if you want to continue to be the mayor, you got to bail on that relationship.
Yeah.
She's not listening to you.
She should, or he should have just left the bars open. Then you wouldn't even be in
this
situation.
Just reopen the bars.
You wouldn't be in this situation.
Be like, you know what? She was right all along.
Or she has to come out with like a public statement.
Yeah, or a song. Right. Maybe she could sing an apology.
Shime. Maybe you could teach her, I don't know, a particular song.
I'm sorry, there's got to be a free song. Like
so
this.
I'm 6 feet from my That's friends and I'm thinking.
She should have just listened.
She should have. And maybe don't go to the bar right now because they shouldn't be open.
Maybe it's like she could have like, you know, a song where she wants to spread her wings and fly. Maybe it's an R. Kelly, you know.
Okay.
I believe I can fly.
What are you doing?
You got to be a caged animal right now.
You are working Shime side of the street here, Wiggy. Well, what are you doing?
If you're going to put out
I'm
a
not
song,
scared.
If you're going to put out a song, right, shouldn't it be like the reason why
Topical.
You're at the bar?
Yeah.
Because I want to be free. I want to fly
maybe
again.
Maybe because I'm a booze bag. You know, I'm thirsty maybe, for drinks.
Well, then she should have a little John shot.
Yes, exactly.
A couple of notes about tomorrow's program. At 1:10, we will talk with Dr. Benjamin Davis. He is an infectious disease specialist from Mass General, also from the Harvard Medical School. He'll try to give us the best information up to date and literally seconds ago on the TV monitor in my little home studio here. The United States just passed the 13,000 mark in fatalities to the coronavirus so far. And tonight would have been the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs in the NHL. Bruins would have played either tonight or tomorrow night. They won't be playing either. But tomorrow, the captain of the Bruins, Zdeno Chara, will join us at noon. And we'll talk to him about how he and his teammates are holding up under the circumstances and what his hopes are about the resumption of an NHL season. Because who knows right now? Wiggy, good to talk to you again,
All right, we'll talk to you guys.
Rich, I'll talk to you tomorrow as well.
All right.
OMF is coming up next, top of the hour, 2 o'clock, Sports Radio WEEI. Bundesliga.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.